and welcome, welcome to Mountaineer on Air. Jane Mountaineer, Greg Bach, Jessica Plotkin-Sell on the board in Fort Calvin, who, for whatever strange reason, got to have a couple days off.
Who does he know?
I don't know. He's got connections somewhere. No, Calvin deserves it.
Yeah.
He really does. So, welcome, Jess. Thank you for sliding into the board. We really appreciate you being here.
Happy to join you.
You can always join the show. You can call. You can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very busy show coming up today. We're going to debut a new segment at the end of this hour at 10:50. We're calling it Deeply Held Personal Convictions, brought to you by Jell-O. And then in hour number two, we needed to talk about Elon.
Yes.
We need to talk about Elon Musk.
Need to have a discussion about that.
Yep. He's like the problem child.
That little man.
So we will do that in the 11 o'clock hour and also talk about what's happening in Florida and Georgia with Hurricane Debbie and the astonishing amount of rain. Some of those areas, they're talking about 30 inches of rain in Savannah, Georgia in the next couple of days. That's a month's worth of rain in 4 days.
My goodness.
So we will be talking about the climate and climate conservation next hour. We wanted to start off, though. There were things happening over the weekend.
What?
I know. As they tend to be. And we talked about this when White Dudes for Harris sprung up.
Yeah.
And that big fundraiser to raise money for Kamala Harris. The latest one that has announced on Sunday, the Harris campaign unveiled Republicans for Harris.
Oh, man, I thought we were going to talk about deadheads for Harris.
Well, that's come. I'm sure there's one of
there
those.
There is.
Is there a deadheads for
totally.
Harris already? Of course there is. The Harris campaign unveiling more than 24 endorsements from Republicans, including former governors, members of Congress, Trump administration officials.
Yeah.
Many of the endorsements coming from politicians who are already openly critical of the former president, including former Republican Governor Bill Weld of Massachusetts, former Representative Denver Riggleman, and former Trump administration press secretary Stephanie Grisham. But there are lots and lots of names on this.
I'm assuming that all of those individuals on there all have the title of former before them.
In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Yeah. Olivia Troy, who worked in the Trump administration, former secretaries Chuck Hagel and Ray LaHood, former governors Jim Edgar, Bill Weld, Christine Todd Whitman, that's a big name, former U.S. House members Rod Chandler, Tom Coleman, Dave Emery, Wayne Gilchrist, Jim Greenwood, Adam Kinzinger, Denver Riggleman, as I mentioned, Christopher Shays, Peter Smith, Joe Walsh, former GOP state chair and state senator Chris Vance. The support appears to keep growing.
It's mounting.
For Kamala Harris.
I just would love to see. Maybe the... Did it mention the Mesa, Arizona mayor? Will he be on the call?
He should be because he came out in support of her, too. The mayor of Mesa, Arizona.
The current. Not a former.
Right.
Not a,
the current.
And that's the thing that's important to me is... seeing some currents walking up and saying, nope, this isn't right. We're going to go for Harris. She might not share all of our values, but it's better than that psychopath who wants to change democracy.
Well, and even Liz Cheney has said the same thing. Mm-hmm. She said, we can deal with bad policies. We cannot deal with the complete destruction of our democracy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... neither can I. I'm with you on that one, Liz Cheney.
We agree, Liz. Yeah. We agree. A few months ago, we talked to, there's an organization called Republican Voters Against Trump.
Yes, yes.
And we talked to one of the organizers of this group, and we also talked to two people from Wisconsin who are also part of this group. They are people who voted for Donald Trump in the past.
Yeah.
And this, even before this Republicans for Harris came out, we have a couple clips, Jess. Let's play clip number one. This is a Republican voter against Trump. His name is David.
Hello, I'm David, and I'm from Madison, Wisconsin. I was an alternate delegate to the 2016 National Republican Convention in Cleveland. I did vote for Donald Trump in 2020, never again. I think he disqualified himself. by leading the insurrection on January 6th. I thought he had a successful presidency, but he's had a horrific post-presidency. He led the mob against the Constitution, really, in trying to overturn a duly elected president. He lost, and January 6th is a disgrace, a stain on our history. As General Mark Milley said, we swear an oath to the Constitution. Donald Trump's already said what he thinks about the Constitution, and it's not good. We can't elect a man like that who doesn't respect the Constitution. The Constitution is above us all. The president takes an oath to defend the Constitution. He has promised to subvert the Constitution. I'm a conservative Republican, and I believe in rule of law. I believe in the Constitution, and I believe in free and open elections and being a good loser when you lose. Donald Trump lost.
That's David from Wisconsin, Republican voters against Trump.
Yeah.
And I think that's a crucially important point, especially for people here in Wisconsin, losing with grace.
Well, we're at the point now where in the Republican Party, you can't even say you will accept the election results. If you do that, you're going to be in trouble. They'll call you a rhino for something that was so basic. So basic. It was never a front page story. Now, it's to the point where these are like subversive acts these guys are talking about. It's being so mean to Donald Trump.
I think it's important also to remember that there were 140 officers who were injured in the attack on the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
These people are not patriots.
No.
They're not heroes. They're not being held hostage. And also over the weekend, I saw something that Trump said he is going to go through each January 6th case individually to decide who will receive a pardon if he's reelected.
Is that a little different? Because I feel like he just said he was going to pardon January 6th patriots / hostages. They're traitors, actually. And they don't care about the rule of law or law and order. So now he's going to go through
everyone on a case by case basis.
I wonder how many won't get pardons then.
Oh, I think they'll all get pardons.
We'll see.
Do you think he'll skip some?
Well,
just for show.
Let's remember something here. He makes a lot of promises and follows through on none of them. So the fact that he says he's going to do this, that's all well and good. Jane, I am going to run the New York Marathon next year. I promise you that. Check back to me next year when I haven't done it. That's how easy it is to make a promise. But yeah, I'm very interested in seeing, because he doesn't owe them anything. They're all nothings to him.
Absolutely. Except for props.
Yeah.
They're very useful props.
They're wonderful props, but that they're not money. They're not clout.
They can't really do anything for him. There's no quid pro quo there.
No, not at all. Not one bit. So I'll be interested to see how well he keeps that promise.
And it will be interesting to see if this group, this Republicans for Harris, rather, will actually gain some traction, and we'll see some more people stepping up and speaking out.
I hope so. I've seen their billboards around Milwaukee, and I've actually seen language change on the billboards.
Oh, really?
Before the RNC, it was, I will not be voting for Trump. I cannot support Trump. And now there's one specific, it says, I will be voting for Harris. So they're making themselves known in certain areas. So I think it says a lot. And I think it's saying a lot. You have with Republican voters against Trump, it's more the every guy, every mm-hmm. person. And with this Republicans for Harris thing they're going to do, you're going to see high-profile Republicans coming out. And really, the same thing we saw in 2008 with Obama, but on a more critical scale.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, as more people had their eyes open to Project 2025 and what that would do and essentially completely change our democracy, it's massively unpopular. And of course, now it's, run away from that.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about that. Let's not mention that.
No, they're the kings of running away now. They love, there's nothing they love more than running away.
Absolutely. We have one more clip we wanted to play for you. This is Thomas from Republican Voters Against Trump. Jess, let's take a listen to that.
My name is Thomas Pallone. I voted for Donald Trump in both 2020 and 2016. I do not intend on voting for him in 2024. I will not be supporting Donald Trump in 2024 because I believe his interests are not good for America. Donald Trump is running for president because he cares about Donald Trump. I don't believe Donald Trump has changed. I think he is the man he always was. It's always Trump first. And he's not a conservative. He doesn't even understand conservative principles, doesn't understand our government, how it operates, doesn't understand our Constitution, and doesn't care to understand it. He was the lesser of evils. That's what I voted for two times. This time I can't do that any longer. I think that it would be filled with more empty promises. Trump promised a wall to protect our border, didn't deliver. Promised that Mexico would pay for it, didn't deliver. Trump promised us health care better than Obama's, didn't deliver. A lot of empty promises that Trump made, didn't deliver on.
Absolutely right. He's absolutely right. And the thing about the wall that really gets me is that Steve Bannon fleeced Trump supporters to send him money to help build the wall, and then he bought himself a yacht, and Trump pardoned him.
Mm-hmm. And now where is Steve Bannon right now? In jail again.
Oh, yeah, he is in jail. That's right.
I chose the second clip specifically because I wanted people to hear someone say, Donald Trump cares about Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone. Mm-hmm. It's important for a Republican to say that out loud, and also the fact that, you know, he just is the king of broken and empty promises.
You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. You could coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Jess on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842. If you're watching on the live stream, leave a comment there too on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. We need to talk about Elon at 11 o'clock next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news. There's some things going on there that I think we need to just kick around a little bit.
Well, Andrew in Maine had a very important question on the live stream. He said to us, he said, full stop, why is there a dog walking around behind Greg and not being pet receiving scratches? That is our the very handsome and very capable Luke Mather's dog. She is visiting with us today. And trust me, I would easily walk out of this room and give her all the scritches for the next 2 hours.
Be reassured, Andrew. She is getting, Aurora is getting lots of pets and scritches.
So much love.
So much love. Absolutely.
Thank you for asking the hard questions, Andrew.
Yes, absolutely. We were talking about Republican Voters for Harris that was formed over the weekend, and we're going to talk about the Veep Stakes because she starts traveling tomorrow.
Yep, like there's something coming today.
It's either going to happen today or it's going to come tomorrow. She's going to be in Philadelphia.
Yep.
And then she's going to be in Eau Claire on Wednesday.
Yep.
Tom from L.A., thank you for your patience, Tom. Good morning.
I was wondering the same thing as Andrew from Maine was, actually, and I'm glad to hear that you guys answered that question.
About Aurora? Very important, critically important stuff. Yes.
Exactly. Dan, I just wanted to say that I want to thank you and Greg so much for actually talking about Project 2025 every day, because I don't think our regular media or even some of our, you know, left-wing media understand that this is the difference between a democracy and an authoritarian dictatorship, that they don't understand that, you know, we are basically going to be living in a Handmaid's Tale world if we actually, if Donald Trump actually gets in there. I don't think they understand the severity of it. And I'm so happy that Republicans for Harris are coming out the way that they are. I'm hoping that they're in the battleground states, because this is the whole ball game. I mean, I wish that we had a national popular vote, so, you know, people like myself that live in California actually had more of a effect on what's going to happen in this country. But I mean, this is not a game, and this is not a game where we should be not fact checking even callers that call in.
But Tom, like, let me stop you there for a second, though. You are assuming that we have the ability to know what a caller is going to bring forth, and we may not necessarily have everything right at our fingertips. I appreciate what you're saying, and I think we all try to do the best that we can, but that is not necessarily always possible. Do you understand that?
No. Absolutely, and I totally understand that. But what I like about the fact is that you and Greg actually can push back when it comes to the simple kind of things that everyone knows and say, that's not true.
Yeah.
That is not true that the Democrats have run the debt into, you know, infinity. It's been tax breaks for the billionaire class. It's been because of money and politics, and it's been because of the three Supreme Court cases, whether it be Buckley versus Vallejo, Bilotti versus First National Bank, which made corporations people and money speech, and Citizens United.
Oh, absolutely.
Which has kicked this whole thing into a horrible, horrible world that we're dealing with right now. And like I said, I just wanted to thank you guys, because honestly, just the obvious things where these people call up and say certain things, you actually push back and say, that's not really true.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom. I really do. And we try, and I think we all try.
Yeah.
And but again, I want to make sure if I'm going to call somebody out on that, I better be right.
Yeah. I think to Tom's point, though, regarding and thank you so much for calling, Tom. We really appreciate it. I think one of the things I want to address, though, with regard to Project 2025 and why we don't see the mainstream media speaking about so much is, one, it's not entirely sexy. It's a very, very wonky.
It's 953 pages. Yeah. I mean,
but also, no matter how left-leaning or mainstream your news source is, whether it's a CNN or an MSNBC or even an ABC, like mid-center, like, you know, the networks, they're still run by corporations, and those corporations have interests. They have shareholders.
They want tax breaks.
They want money. They want tax breaks. And if you want a deeper dive into that, look at the difference between what you think CNN does versus the guy who owns CNN. I'm not talking about the guy who runs CNN. I'm talking about David Zaslav, who runs Warner Brothers Discovery. He's not a friend of paying taxes. He's not a guy who wants to be the guy. So when we talk about the mainstream media not covering this, it's because they have bigger interests than getting us informed. Their interest is making money and making their shareholders happy.
And protecting their profits.
And that is what dictates the news you hear on those networks.
And as Tom, we are going to continue talking about Project 2025. We will cover it.
We will never stop.
We will never stop up until the election. And as a matter of fact, next Monday at 10:30. So next Monday at 10:30, we're going to be joined by retired Rear Admiral Joe Sestak, who is with National Security Leaders for America. And he is going to join us to talk about, again, Project 2025, what the ramifications would be of this. What would be the ramifications of Trump being able to come in and fire 50,000 nonpartisan civil servants and replace them with his loyalists? That being the number one requirement, not expertise, not knowledge of the subject. It's how loyal are you to Donald Trump?
Exactly.
And I can see all kinds of the January 6th rioters.
Traitors.
Getting pardons and joining the Trump administration.
That might get you a leg up.
He's right. That's kind of like, I would think that would be ideal. They would do anything for him. And that should scare the crap out of everybody.
And that's the thing. They're sitting in prison right now. Like, my prince will come.
Oh,
my
yeah.
king will free me.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see. I mean, the wall, healthcare, the economy.
I will continue to say, imagine your least qualified cousin who's had a string of jobs. He's never really had a long-term relationship. He was in jail a couple times, maybe a few DUIs, a few, you know, little misdemeanor assaults, stuff like that. And he gets tapped.
Really minor stuff.
Yeah, just minor stuff. He gets tapped to work for the CDC.
And folks, if you're thinking about that cousin and you can't think of that cousin, you're that cousin.
Maybe.
No, I'm just kidding. All of our listeners are perfect and wonderful and amazing, and I would never doubt you in a second.
All right. News is coming up next when we return. California guy says, what?
Oh.
We have an update. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the wonderful Jess on the board. You can join us coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha at 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter.
We had someone on the text line actually ask this question too.
This is so funny.
Jane, what's your email address?
Jane says... J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane says, at civicmedia.us. If you ever have a topic you would like us to discuss, maybe something going on in your community, no matter where you are across the state, we are broadcast statewide, so you can be in Oshkosh, you can be in Wausau, Richland Center, Amory. Jane says, at civicmedia.us, and I did want to just quickly share this comment from... What you can do, it says, being dyslexic, I thought the show was Man Eater on air. By the time I realized no one was going to be devoured, I was already hooked by your excellent coverage. Great show. Thank you so much. That is so funny. I have never been called a man eater. Black Widow of Milwaukee Morning Radio. Yes.
Whoa. Yeah, we need to get into that later.
Well, I had like 9 partners over the course of several years, and most of the bodies have been found, so don't worry about it. No,
were they found in Central Park next to a bike? We'll talk more about that tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
More about that tomorrow. That's called a segue teaser.
That's called a tease.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. We want to come back and talk about California. California guy, lake sitting axe throwing California guy, Eric Hovde.
Yeah. Professional rake stepper, as Pat Kreitlow calls him.
I love that term so much. Eric Hovde does have challengers.
I thought you could say he says challenges.
Well, that could be, sure. But he does have challenges, challengers, the primary is August 13th. And Eric Hovde says Thomas Leaguer, who is running for the America First Party, Eric Hovde believes the Democrats have put Thomas Leaguer on the ballot under America First. It's a Democrat plant to try to siphon votes off of me. Hovde telling a different radio station, Democrats will stop at no level to hold on to power, including putting Leaguer on the ballot. There's a problem here.
Well, first of all, he says in the article they did an extensive investigation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Folks, we have it here in breaking news. Matt and Air on Air, or Maneater on Air, whoever's listening. No, they didn't.
They did not do an extensive investigation?
They absolutely did not. You know why? Tell them why, Jane.
Because in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Mr. Leaguer says that is absolutely not true.
Yeah.
The candidate himself.
Yeah.
But we can't trust him.
We have to dig deeper.
Well, he's a Democratic plant.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. We have to dig deeper into the information, Jane. We have to know more about Monsieur Leaguer.
Monsieur Leaguer, 37, again, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, is to the far, far, far right of Eric Hovde and almost everyone else. A former lobbyist for the Wisconsin Gun Owners and Corporation, Leaguer said some people call some of his ideas extreme. He's also claimed he's an unindicted co-conspirator in the plot to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer in 2020. He does not, however, appear to be mentioned by name in any of the criminal complaints.
Well, yeah, he's an unnamed co-conspirator.
Jess is so smart.
It's like an uncredited walk-on role on a TV show. You wouldn't see my name. I was not credited.
Mr. Leaguer says he was on the witness list for two of the federal trials, but had planned to invoke his Fifth Amendment right to not incriminate himself, but he never had to testify.
So he's just incriminating himself now.
Yeah.
Is there some residual glory attached to this?
There was never any glory.
No, and I think the thing is like he wasn't indicted. He was probably investigated. And they said, yeah, you're not it. Bringing donuts to the house they were all at is not part of the thing. So, sir, you're fine. And, you know, he's like, but I'll testify. We know you're just going to plead the Fifth. I know, but it's my right. We know it's your right. But it's Constitution. We get it, sir. Please just, yeah, you can keep a business card. Goodbye.
In the end, 14 men were criminally charged in state or federal court. 9 were convicted. 5 were cleared. Mr. Leaguer running against Eric Hovde.
Yeah.
August 13th. You'll see his name on the primary ballot. Mr. Leaguer says he knew many of the people involved in the case, including Barry Croft, the accused bomb maker. Croft once called from jail to appear on Mr. Leaguer's podcast, The Free Men Report.
Wait, not the free, like, because in Waukesha here, we have the free men. It's one word. This is the free
men.
It's two words. Free men. Oh, God. I wish I had that clip from Parks and Rec. Men's rights is not a thing, and you are ridiculous. Free men. Okay.
Mr. Leaguer says he's never been a member of a militia group, though he was in some meetings with a few of those involved in the Whitmer conspiracy. But he was not involved in the plot, crediting divine intervention on why he missed the key meeting. Okay.
This is so funny. Like, there's nothing funny about kidnapping. There's nothing funny about election tampering. There's nothing funny about the crimes and allegations. But this is a sketch. Like, the idea is, like, he's like, I wasn't part of it. Yeah, because they probably gave you the wrong address. They didn't want you to show up, Leaguer. Or, like, I wasn't in that Slack chat group. Why did you not invite me?
Mr. Leaguer calling for abolishing the FBI, closing the borders, eliminating the federal income tax, halting all foreign aid until U.S. debt is under $100 million, pass a constitutional amendment recognizing fetuses as legal persons, and protecting children from radical gender theory. Radical gender theory. He also helped lead rallies opposing lockdowns during the COVID pandemic.
Have either of you ever heard the phrase radical gender theory before?
No.
Jess?
I think maybe I've heard it, but
I feel like now that I've heard it once, now I'm going to hear it all the time because it's perfect distillation. Radical gender theory.
Oh, yeah.
And under 100 million.
Gender itself is kind of a radical theory. Let's be really honest here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it's all the greatest hits. His platform are all the greatest hits of Republicanism or crazy Republicanism.
He also is not a fan of California guy Eric Hovde. He says he views the Madison banker and real estate mogul as a neocon who is reluctant to state his policy positions. That's because he doesn't have any.
Well, Tommy Boy ain't wrong there. I mean,
he doesn't have any policy positions.
He just says, well, secure the border.
He talks in big platitudes.
Yep. Oh, yeah. There's no detail.
Ever.
No.
Ever, ever.
No. I'm sorry. This guy is a character. Like, maybe he is a Democratic plant because he's just so over the top. Like, everything about him is ridiculous.
I think if he were a Democratic plant, he would be better at his job.
I don't know. Democrats aren't great at everything.
That's
true.
Well, there's that.
I mean, but yeah, it's just, this is like a bad movie.
And of course, the Hovde campaign is doubling down. A vote for Leaguer is a vote for the Harris-Baldwin agenda.
Well, not in the primary, dude.
Is that a threat?
Yeah. Do you honestly, sir, Mr. Hovde, are you listening to me? It's Margaret. Do you honestly think for a moment you are in any danger to losing
to this guy,
Thomas Leaguer? I mean, sir. Sir.
We're talking to you seriously.
Yeah. Someone clip this audio, send it to his California office. It's in Laguna Beach.
Tell him to keep doing what they're doing.
Yep. Keep doing what you're doing. Making terrible ads, saying dumb things. I mean, I thought it was one thing with the overweight comments, but the farmer stuff,
the farmers,
that's not going away.
Well, and that's not very popular.
No.
Calling our farmers lazy.
Yeah.
Because all they do now is ride around in air-conditioned tractors.
You know, tractors that cost them anywhere between $20,000 to $500,000 they have to mortgage their house to get. Lazy. But yeah, Thomas Leaguer, not a threat.
Not a threat. We do, in case you missed it, and it debuted just a couple of weeks ago. Was it last week?
It was last
time
week.
Time is a construct. I have no idea.
Time, like gender, total construct. Total made up.
Construct.
It's completely made up.
We received a new attack ad.
Yeah.
That, again, I don't know why it's only this show that they buy.
They trust us.
They must. That must be it.
Yeah.
If in case you missed it, let's give that a spin, Jess. This is the latest attack ad. Check it out.
Well, Wisconsin, the election's only a few months away. Let's look at your choices. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has spent her life working on behalf of Wisconsinites, from clean water to child care, bringing in billions of dollars for bridges and airports across the state. Snooze. She even goes to county fairs and meets actual people who live in Wisconsin. Ugh. Our guy grew up and went to school in Wisconsin. Then he moved away for 20 years until coming back to run for office. Then, after he lost, moved away again. And after years of doing great in California, he's back for you. He's not wasting time talking to Wisconsin's farmers or nurses or small business owners. He's attending conferences about cryptocurrency in Arizona, or dipping his toes in the ocean at his mansion on Laguna Beach. He knows what's best for him. I mean, he's for you. He knows what's best for you. You can bank on it. Wow, that's clever. You guys came up with that one? Wow, that's the first clever thing we ever did. Bank on it. Awesome.
Paid for by the We Got Nothing Else Super PAC. Also, Senator Baldwin has no idea who we are and does not endorse this message.
Just vicious.
Yeah.
Completely real, totally legitimate Super PAC.
Yeah.
Very real.
It's a very long name. I would have suggested other names for it. It's a very long name.
Everybody's a critic. Everybody's a critic.
Well, it's better than, well, we'll
talk. They could have workshopped it.
Yeah, well.
Workshopped it. Yeah.
Word work. It's the same idea.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad they trust us. And I'm sure there'll be more ads coming down the road.
I have a feeling.
Yeah.
I have a feeling.
Yeah.
While we are talking about Hovde and Tammy Baldwin, Tammy Baldwin is doing quite well with raising cash.
Yeah.
She's raised almost $2.6 million from July 1st to the 24th. More than $2.1 million coming from individual donors. A WISP Politics analysis of fundraising figures shows over $700,000 from Baldwin's money came from people donating $200 or less. That's big.
That's what happened with the Harris campaign. That I don't know about all of it, but that money she raised that in the first like 48 hours were mostly small donations.
Yeah.
And
you don't have to, you don't have to do $200.
Nope. You
can do $10.
$10 You get 1,000 people giving $10. That makes a difference. And if that's all you can afford,
do it.
Try going for it. I mean, I'm not going to tell you. I don't like telling people to give money. That's not what I'm here for. But yeah, it's amazing to see that. And I'm almost wondering if possibly the RNC is like, you know what, Wisconsin, we'll come back in 6 years because
this didn't go so well for us.
We got the wrong guy. We should have backed Thomas Leaguer.
I have a feeling he will still be available.
With his radical gender theories.
And by the way, Eric Hovde has repeatedly attacked electric vehicle subsidies, calling them a tax scheme and corporate welfare. Yeah. But
wait for it.
Eric has bet on EV manufacturers in the last year alone. He raked in $5.2 million in capital gains from investments in electric vehicles.
What do you always say? That
hypocrite much?
Well, no. For thee, none for me. What was it?
Oh, rules for thee and none for me.
Exactly.
Yeah, none for me.
Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely. We're going to debut a new segment when we return.
Yeah.
Deeply Held Convictions, brought to you by Jell-O. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Jess is on the board. And for Calvin, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, you can join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Don't forget, Wisconsin has a primary election August 13th. It is very, very, very important that you vote. It's really important you check your registration.
Yes.
Because this, I think, just happened in Georgia. They knocked another 300,000 people off the voter rolls.
Yep.
And you, I mean, I don't know for certain that this has happened in Wisconsin, but it's always a good idea to double check to make sure you are still registered. It's myvote.wi.gov.
It's all the difference between walking in and what could be a 5-minute experience to a half an hour. Not everybody has that. And that turns people away from the polls. So remember, you can always register in person on the day of. You need a piece of ID. And I believe you need a bill from home as well.
That used to be the case.
But check your registration on myvote.wi.gov. Just makes it easier so you know it's and check out that ballot. Check out your ballot, see what's on there. Mine's really long.
Your ballot?
Yeah, it's lots of write-ins.
Oh,
it's
just interesting.
It's just it's a convoluted ballot, I think.
There are two critically important amendments to the state constitution on the ballot that will essentially take away checks and balances and give more power to the legislature and take away the governor's ability to handle federal emergency funds. As a reminder, during the COVID pandemic, the legislature gaveled in and gaveled out.
Multiple times they've done that.
Yes. So Tony Evers was at work doing his job, getting money out to small businesses and communities, and they gaveled in and gaveled out. So in the middle of a crisis, if you would like to see more of this incredible inaction, because they're really, really good at doing nothing, then I would say you should vote yes.
I would love to see, like, if somehow the Democrats could gain control of the state house, which, who knows, but we're not guaranteeing or pinning all of our hopes and dreams on. I'm just wondering if maybe, just maybe, the Assembly and the State Senate would have maybe a 4-month working year or 5-month working year, not a 10-month holiday break.
It's crazy. It really is.
I think they make 60 grand a year now.
It's tough. It's tough, Greg. It's tough.
Great job if you can get it.
Absolutely. We are going to move on to a new segment we're calling Deeply Held Personal Convictions, brought to you by Jell-O. Kyle Rittenhouse, of course. Was it Thursday? It was Thursday night, I want to say.
Was it Thursday or Friday?
He went on Twitter and announced he would not be supporting Donald Trump's efforts to return to the White House. In the post on Twitter, Rittenhouse argued Trump had a bad record with respect to gun rights and therefore explaining he would be backing Ron Paul.
Yeah, Ron Paul, who I don't even think has made an announcement to run.
No.
Unless he's like running on the very unknown gun ticket or gun party or gun show.
Now, I don't understand Mr. Rittenhouse's disappointment. Because according to the former president himself, when he was in office, he did nothing about guns. Do we have that clip?
During my four years, nothing happened. And there was great pressure on me having to do with guns. We did nothing. We didn't yield. And once you yield a little bit, that's just the beginning. That's the avalanche begins.
Yeah, he did nothing on guns or making our kids safer at schools or any of us safer at grocery stores or church or synagogue. Or I can go on and on and on and on about all the things the Trump administration did not do to make us safer from guns. So why Kyle decided to back Ron Paul, and Tony asked on the live stream, Ron Paul is still alive? That's kind of what I thought too.
Yeah, because everyone's been saying what? Rand Paul.
Yeah, which is his son.
Yeah. I was trying to find the graphic because before he had his huge change of heart, he posted a graphic on his Twitter page about all the reasons why they thought, and there was like 9 reasons they felt he was bad on guns. It's basically because he wasn't just allowing guns to exist without any sort of problem. If like bump stocks were a problem, he didn't come out immediately and dismiss it. Like the kind of pro Second Amendment that Kyle Rittenhouse is absolute and without any sort of, there's no changing him. It's immutable.
Well, they're just never going to be happy.
No.
Unless a baby gets their first handgun in their bassinet at birth.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are pretty few restrictions for Americans to get their hands on a gun. I don't understand what the complaint is.
I just wish I could find that graphic because it was amazing because there were like 9 things. I was shocked when I saw that. So I'm like, some of this seems pretty nitpicky to me.
Well, fear not, because after less than 24 hours, I thought it was going to take 3 days, Greg Bach. Remember, we talked about that off the air on Friday. I said Monday.
Yeah,
I said by Monday, Kyle Rittenhouse will back off. No. By Friday, he backed off completely.
Within hours.
By Friday afternoon, he was back on Twitter writing he is 100% behind Donald Trump and encourages every gun owner to join him in helping send him back to the White House. In the last 12 hours, I've had a series of productive conversations with members of the Trump team. Read threats.
Yeah.
I was going to say productive conversations.
Do this or else. I'm confident he will be the strong ally gun owners need to defend our rights. My comments made last night were ill-informed and unproductive and got you dragged.
Yeah, in other words, you got big bullied time on Twitter, dude.
Big time. So much for the deeply held personal convictions. Kyle Rittenhouse, brought to you by Jell-O. I'm impressed with just how flexible you are and how quickly that happened. Whoosh.
I mean, when you hear new information, Jane, it's important to open your mind.
And be open to information.
Yes, yes.
That's what it is. All right. News is coming up next. And then when we return, we need to talk about Elon.
Yeah, and you need to listen, people.
That's
seriously.
That's all coming up. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Smile like you.